I'm going to turn myself on first. That's what I should do. Sorry about that. Now I will start. Guys, man, it's great to be here this morning. I'm excited about this. So Parish Ministers Alliance, it's a group of churches here in the Paris area, and man, we've been building relationships with a lot of other churches, with a lot of other people, and part of it is I'm really excited about this this get-together this week. There's going to be a lot of pastors that are kind of swapping out, meeting at other people's churches and preaching there. It's a, just kind of a revival going all week, but look, if you can't make any of the other nights, I highly, highly, highly encourage you. Obviously, we have Worship Wednesday. You want to be there. But then as well, Friday night, Friday night's going to be here. Our worship team, we're going to lead it as if it was somewhat of a normal service, other than I'm excited. We have a pastor from where's Greg at? Greg? Mount Canaan land? Dang it! Where am I preaching? I'm preaching at Mount Canaan land on Thursday. And where is Snowden the pastor at? Evangelist Temple. I knew that all along. Y'all didn't hear him. The people online never saw it. We'll delete all that even though it's live. Man. All right. So Evangelist Temple, Pastor Kimmy Snowden is going to be here on Friday night, man. It's going to be amazing, guys. Y'all come out Friday night, enjoy a great service. Thursday night, if you want to hear me, you'll get to this morning, so I, you know, whatever. But if you want to, it's going to be a great time to just, man, guys, just for the benefit of getting together with other people, other churches. You and I are the church. We've talked about it. We've said it. But at some point, we have to recognize that there's other people too that as well also are the church. And our job as the church is to build and edify, to lift each other up. So I encourage y'all, come on out. It's going to be a great time. Today's just full of stuff. We also have a baptism right after church. I'm super excited about baptizing a lady here. You hate to call it the stock tank. Because that's not, it's our baptismal. It's a stock tank. We warm it though, and so blessings. It's going to be, man, people getting baptized is it's an awesome sight to see. There's no magic, there's nothing special about baptism itself other than what it does here. That chance, that opportunity to be able to share and tell the world, look, I'm making a change, I'm making a difference. Christ is in my life and I'm going to stand for it. The old is gone. Behold, everything is new. It tells the world. It's a beautiful, beautiful time. So, man, I'm excited about that. Just a whole bunch going on this week. Today, though, what I want to do is I'm going to start off by asking a question. And I think two questions. First question being, how many people here, show of hands, please, how many people here believe in or believe that prayer is real. Believe that, man, God answers prayers. Believe that he hears people's prayers. I predominantly across the room, hands go up. We believe that God answers prayers. We believe that God hears people's prayers. Knowing that, how many of you pray as often as you should? Look, I'm Of the series, Know the Way, we've been in this series now. This is week 5, and man, I've just been really seeking God. I know the truth. Thy word have I hid in my heart. We talk about all that all the time, and the truths are legitimate. We need the truths, but sometimes we need the truth in light of the way that Jesus lived. And I think sometimes we get just so partial on what we believe or what we stand for or what we say that we lose sight of the way that Jesus lived. We hear a truth and we just start taking it and running with it and then twisting it and turning it and making things out of it and forcing it upon people that can't manage. We ourselves can't manage the rules that we sometimes just place over ourselves. So we're looking at the way that Jesus lived. And I'm gonna I'm gonna have to be extremely honest today. All right, so just to like lay the groundwork, that last song that the worship team played, Come As You Are. Every time, I mean, I love that song, the power of that song. But being real with you, every time when I'm coming into worship and they put a little list down on the front row and tell me what's coming so I'm a planner, I'm analytical, I'm thinking, and I read Come As You Are. And my mind immediately goes, Nirvana? Really? There's only a few of you. God bless you. The rest of you are spiritual. Hallelujah. My mind immediately goes there. So same thing today, what I'm talking about, I'm going to have to be real with you and say it's a struggle for me. What am I talking about today? When you look at the way that Jesus lived, you discover very quickly that prayer wasn't just an action. We tend to classify it. We tend to categorize it. We tend to label it, well, I need to do this. I need to have my prayer time. We categorize this little area in our lives. But prayer wasn't an action for him so much as it was the way he lived. We've kind of relegated it down to this, okay, well, you need to fold your hands, you need to kneel beside your bed, and that's prayer time. And it is. But it's also so much more than just something that you occasionally do. It's got to be the way you live. Jesus gave a high priority to spending time in the presence of God through prayer. I mean, consistently, he was spending time in prayer with God. It was through prayer that he was empowered to overcome every temptation of the evil one, able to be completely faithful to God, able to completely be obedient, to heal people, to show love to those who wouldn't show love in return. It was all through prayer. You can read again and again throughout Scripture that Christ, Jesus, he would leave the crowd just to go be alone to pray. He would get up early in the morning to pray. He would pray late at night. Scripture talks about he went off to the lake alone to pray. It talks about he went up to the mountainside to pray. Jesus, he was always disconnecting from those around to fully reconnect with God. I mean, just a quick read through the Gospels, you'll see that he prayed at his baptism, prayed in the morning before heading to Galilee, prayed after healing people, prayed the night before choosing his disciples, prayed for kids, prayed for himself, prayed for his disciples, prayed after being nailed to the cross, prayed while dying on the cross. As you study Scripture, as you look through the life of Jesus, the way that he lived, what you'll quickly notice is that he prayed all the time. All throughout the day, he prayed. It wasn't just something that he occasionally did. Prayer was the way that Jesus lived. It wasn't just something he did. He knew he had to pray all along the way. I am going to pull up. There it goes. Yeah, I'm going to have you. I know you love doing that for me. Thank you. Look, guys, I'm going to break from my message for a moment. It's amazing how on a Sunday morning, everything goes wrong. Like, you think that you just deal with it. Like some of you are walking in here thinking, my kids, I'm going to kill them, but it's church, so we're going to show our happy face, and we're going to put on our Sunday best, and I'm going to kill them afterward. Yeah, see, look, He knew. Same thing here. We things just mess up. But as I look at the life of Jesus, as I see the way that he lived, I'm going to have to recognize that there's something else to it. There's something more to prayer than just a moment that I spend beside my bed or something right before a meal. Bless this double quarter pounder. Let it be a nourishment to my bodies. The extra large fries and the big drink. Come on. I mean, that really is what we've brought prayer down to. It's like, God, take this unhealthy and make it great for me. But we're going to have to pray all along the way if we want to truly follow the way that Jesus lived. And yet, I mean, we almost, I would dare say, at least 90% of us raised our hands, saying that we believe in the power of prayer. We know prayer works, but then why? Why do we struggle to pray consistently or even to pray effectively? If we know prayer works and we, why? Why do we not? I think a lot of times, and again, being honest with you, look, for me, guys, I'll be real. Prayer's hard. And this number one, there's three reasons I see predominantly why we tend to not end up praying. The first one is quite simply, we don't have the focus. Like for me, on a Sunday morning, the way I prepare, I fully write out my message. I can then kind of go through it and read it, and I'm changing things and I'm rearranging things. And this part right here, I actually wrote this paragraph and I'm reading through it, and I promise you, I read through it, we tend to lose focus. And then like 10 minutes later, when my brain came back from wherever it was, I was like, oh yeah, focus, that's what I'm supposed to do. Oh man. I'm preaching it, and yet still, I mean, we all deal with it. We tend to lose focus a lot of times. We get distracted, or sadly, maybe worse, being real, look, sometimes I just get bored. Come on, hey. Come on, be real with me. Who's ever fallen asleep during a prayer? Thank you. Thank you, holier than thou. You're all, man. We do. We tend to lose focus, and our mind just kind of wanders off. Or a lot of times what I also see, if it's not focus, it's a lack of confidence. How many of you have a buddy, a friend, or you know somebody who knows how to like full-on King James pray? Dude, that's intimidating. Look. I mean, somebody stands up and, we beseech thee, Father God. I'm like, beseech, I gotta look that up. Hold up. Or worse, but like they know every scripture. But not only do they know the scripture, they like know where to find it. Like some of you can throw out a scripture. Oh yeah, for God so, God loved the world. Where is that? Oh. And then other people are like, well, it says in the book of Ezekiel. You're like, Ezekiel? What? We lose confidence. A lot of us just, we either lose focus or we lack confidence. And then I think another thing that happens to all of us is we tend to lack faith. We're not sure God will. I mean, by a show of hands, I think everybody here would agree, we know God can, but will he do it for me? And so I think a lot of times we end up not praying because we're just not certain that God would really care about us. Sure, there's people dying over there, or there's a war, or there's an earthquake, or there's some atrocity somewhere, but that's obviously so much more important than me, and so we just kind of, well, I guess, God's dealing with that. A lot of people today, I think, have given up on prayer. But the truth is, if we're to know the way, if you and I are to be followers of Christ, if we're to know the way, then we're going to have to pray all along the way. We're going to have to pray all along the way. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, and when I look at the way that Jesus prayed, it wasn't just something he did. There wasn't like a moment where he prayed, rather it was a lifestyle. And I want to read this to you in Matthew 6, 6. This version, you've probably heard this passage before, but this version is from The Message. It just kind of really puts it plainly. starts off, Jesus speaking to us, says this. He says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place to pray so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Wow. How many times are we role playing when we come before God? Ouch. Goes on, it says, just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. And here's what will happen. As you're there, as you're praying, as you're seeking Him, the focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense His grace. Find a secluded place. Jesus got alone to pray. Look, I encourage everybody here, everybody tuning in online, you're going to have to find a priority, a place, a time to get alone. And look, that's hard. I mean, you mamas know. Oh, I got fingers creeping under locked doors. It's hard to find alone time. But we need it. We have to, whatever it is that's so busy in your life, we have to put it aside for a few moments just to spend time with God. Disconnect from everything to reconnect to His way. Guys, intimacy is never accidental. Some of my best friendships have been the cause of, or because of, purposeful, intently trying to just build a friendship. It took work. Intimacy, friendships, relationships, they do. They take work. They take time. It's never accidental. You can't just accidentally be close to somebody. It's gonna eventually, like, there may be a connection, there may be a draw, but at some point you're gonna have to actually put effort into it. But it's not an effort when your heart's in the right place. Why is it that so many of us struggle to pray? Why? I mentioned it earlier, and I think a lot of times it really is because we try and compartmentalize our lives. Okay, I've got my work life. I've got my play life. I've got my church life. I've got my, and we categorize these different areas, and in our minds, we don't want them to cross. They don't necessarily mix. Like, these people aren't these people aren't these people, but prayer isn't a spot. As if we could wake up in the morning and have our great time with God, and then God looks at His watch and says, ooh, you got to get to the rest of your day, buddy. Get on. Good luck with that. Enjoyed our part this morning. But that's what we do. We give God a part. A moment. He doesn't want to be a part of your life. He's every part of what matters in your life. And He promises. His word says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I mean, His word, we know it. It says it right there. So the times where we do feel alone, we can sit there and we can come back to the word of God and say, God, look, man, I don't feel it. I don't feel you. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on in the world. I don't know what's happening in my life. All these struggles, come to Him with them. God, I just need you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So if we know that, then we know that He's always with us, then prayer can't just be an action that we do. It's a way that we live. If we live in communication, in relationship with Christ, then there has to be communication, relationship with Christ. When you look at the way He lived, he practiced the presence, the priority of prayer. Jesus continually had uninterrupted time, fellowship with the Father. There's a passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and quite honestly, I think a lot of us have heard it. It's pray without ceasing. And For me, that was one of those scriptures where, like, if you could remove it from the Bible, God, I'd like to just, because I've got too much going on. I don't really have the time. And other people's hands are sweaty and clammy. I don't want to do it. Like, Hey, let's have a prayer meeting. You go ahead. Yes. And please, I pray you hear my heart. I don't not believe in the power of prayer. I've never been like, yeah, let's go spend the next 3 hours praying. But as I've read this scripture, I wonder, as I've been through this whole series, I wonder, although I've had this knowledge, I wonder if I've had this knowledge. Pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that literally you go lock yourself into that quiet room that he talked about and you never come out ever again to spend time with anybody else because you're doing nothing but praying. That's not it. It's a lifestyle. It's an understanding that God will never leave me, never forsake me. And so if he's here, that means he's here. So right now, when I'm sitting here bumbling, fumbling, not certain what to say or what to do, I can still hold on to, all right, God, I know you're here with me. And if he's here with me, then I can talk to him at any given point in time. It's communication. It's relationship. It's thank you, God, for this, for that. This last week, I drive the same thing every day. I see predominantly the same people every day. Anytime I go out, it's usually about the same. And yet this week, as I just kind of made it a point to be continually just thinking about Christ and what he's done for me and just these moments. There were things that happened this week that I know I've probably passed them every single day and just never saw them. So all of a sudden, the sky looked just a little bit different. The people that I interacted with, the conversations went just a little bit different. There was something else going on in my mind that made me aware of what was happening. Started to dawn on me as I look at the way that Jesus prayed. It wasn't a moment or an action. It was his life. An ongoing awareness that God never leaves you, never forsakes you. If that's the case, then I can talk to him anywhere. I mean, you can look kind of silly doing it, but you can do it anywhere. On the drive to work. Just on the drive in general for me. Like if I get in the car, I got to start praying because somebody's going to get, yeah, the bad side, the flesh of me. But literally, anytime, if you're going to work, look, that one person, you know who it is at work that totally irritates you. If you don't know who that person is, you might be that person. Kidding, it's not you, it's never. But hey, what if you're like, God, man, look, they help me in this today. They get on my ever-loving last nerve, but God, open up my heart to hear what's going on in their world. Why can't we just communicate? We know prayer works. We've said it. We've said that prayer works, and yet we won't take the time to do it. Talk to them when you lose your temper. Talk to them when you're running late to church. Talk to them when you stayed at home and decided not to go to church. Welcome online. Talk to them. Prayer, it simply is having time, communication with God. It's getting alone with God. Find your place of prayer. But so much more than just your place of prayer, find your realization. God's with you. Never leave you, never forsake you. It's living in God's presence. Prayer is experiencing God's grace. It's hearing his whisper. It's enjoying his power. It's experiencing his complete peace. Prayer is, it's not getting God to do what you want. I think a lot of times we throw out there, all right, God, look, if you'll do this, then I'll be at church on Sunday. Like, it's not a barter system. It's communication. There's a passage again, another one that I've had here forever. Psalms 37, it's written, it says, God will give you the desires of your heart. And in my mind, I always just kind of had this assumption, this thought, this process that was like, well, if I've got a desire, then God's going to give it to me. God's going to give me what I want. But that's not what the scripture says. It's not about what I want. I now see it more so is that as I pray all along the way, as I continually seek him, my desires start to line up with his desires. The more time I spend with him, no longer is it a chore, but now it becomes something from within because I've now grown closer to him. And as I grow closer to him, the word tells me he will draw close to me. So the more time I spend with him, the more time, and again, not setting aside 5 hours or whatever, but just the simple moments, the everyday, taking the time to, God, I need you now. God, help me on this drive. God, thank you for this. God, the more you do that, the more his desire is within you. When you're walking with God, when you're walking in the Spirit, it's in those moments that you're aware of his presence. And it's in those moments that one of two things will happen. He'll convict you of your sin in a loving way, and then also he'll comfort you in the middle of your trials. Those aren't bad things. The more my life starts to conform, not to the image of the world, but rather to what he would have for me, the more my heart starts to desire what it is that he desires, man, the world changes. My perspective on the world changes. When you pray all along the way, you sense his direction, his leadership, his guiding. Even when it feels like the boat itself is falling apart in the middle of a raging sea, you can still sense his direction. You can still find the peace. You hear his promptings to reach out to people. Your heart starts to hurt over what breaks his heart, while at the same time rejoices over what brings him joy. It's the way we live. It's the way Jesus lived. It's recognizing that we need to prioritize the presence of God in our lives. So what do? Well, like that very first scripture, yes, man, find a place to pray, but then just don't stop. I mean, look, this is probably one of the easiest messages I'm going to give to you guys. Hey, don't stop praying. Pray all along the way. Done. That's it. That's the message. If he will never leave me, never forsake me, then I can walk in confidence, knowing that God is never more than the prayer away. It's as simple as texting a friend or calling a loved one. I mean, he's right there. And again, First John 5:14-15 says this. This is the confidence that we have. The assurity. I mean, this is the certainty, the confidence that we have in approaching God, in coming to him in prayer. We know that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. We believe that he hears prayer. All right? So if we know that he hears us, then we can also rest that whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Coming back to the beginning, I think a lot of us, a lot of our confidence in prayer sometimes is shaken because maybe at some point in time, I think every one of us has a story where maybe for you as a kid, you prayed, God, don't let, I pray for my parents or whatever, and they still got divorced. Or you prayed for a family member, a loved one, somebody that you cared for, and they still passed away. I think a lot of us, we fall into these moments where we don't trust prayer anymore. But just because something didn't go the way we wanted it to, it doesn't mean that God wasn't right there with you the whole time. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes the way that we want it to go, it's purely selfish. I have prayers I ask of God all the time, and look, they're selfish. They are so, so selfish. Like, I'm done praying, and I think, wow, can God even hear that? Like, come on. But think about your closest friend. Your closest friend, you can cry on their shoulder at the same time that you can sit there and just be in anger and hate, and you can share anything with them, right? You talk it out, you walk it through. Man, God's the same. We put on these masks, these okay, God, this is me. I'm getting ready to pray, go to church. I'm going to look good doing it. And all the while, our lives are miserable, and we're not willing to just say, God, I life's miserable. I'm hurting. I'm hard. This, whatever it is, can we not be real? I'm gonna close early. I'm gonna start wrapping up. I don't have the band come up, but listen, I want y'all to get this because this is it's critical. I think a lot of us feel unworthy at times. We feel unworthy because of past. We feel unworthy because of present. Can God hear my prayers knowing what I've done? Or worse yet, can God even hear my prayers knowing what I'm doing? The way things are going right now, does he love me? Does he care? Will he really move on my behalf? Will he do that for me, or is it just something he does for other people? I think a lot of people have spiritual doubts. We all have our own secret thoughts, our own doubts, our own insecurities. We all deal with our own darkness. But I can stand firm, I can stand confident on the fact that I know that God loves me. I can stand confident, I can stand certain, I can hold on to the fact that God will never leave me nor forsake me. So even when it feels like everything else is falling apart, I can always come back to that. And it's as simple as saying, God, I need you. Does that mean I always feel it? Does that mean I always understand it, that I immediately know God's plan, God's next step? No. But the more that I spend time in prayer with him, then yes, then I start to. Because all of a sudden, my mind, my heart, my relationships, things start to change. Things start to become different because I'm spending time in a relationship with the one who gave his life for me. God loves you more, more than you can ever imagine. There's nothing you can do that will make him love you anymore. So the same, there's nothing you can do that would ever cause him to love you less. And yet we treat the relationship like he's just if I'm having a really bad time or my food is really unhealthy, then I'll need to communicate. Do you pray all along the way? Do you pray all along the way? I think as you do, you're going to start to become more aware of your shortcomings, even your sinfulness. But that's a good thing. It's not bad. As you draw close to him, all of a sudden you're more aware of the holiness of God. You're more aware of his love for you. You're more aware of just how good it is that you've got it. The reality is every single one of us, every single individual in here, no matter whether they King James pray or not, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Not a single one of us is worthy of it on our own, on by ourselves. It is his grace. It's his love. But knowing that he extends that to us out of grace when we didn't earn it, why then don't we turn and adore? God, thank you. The Apostle Paul from prison wrote Philippians 4. And this is, again, the Message version. I normally don't use the Message version, but it just said this so succinctly. Paul writes from prison. He says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, why don't you pray? Let your petitions, your praises, shape your worries into prayer. Letting God know every one of your concerns, and then before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and it'll settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Man, there's some of you that need your worry displaced. We walk around fearful of what the mask isn't gonna do or is gonna do, what the vaccine is gonna do or is not gonna do. And oh my God, seriously. Seriously. God, I thank you for life. God, I thank you for what you're doing today. I thank you for the people that you've placed in my life. God, I thank you for this group of people. I thank you for those that are tuning in online. God, I thank you. Everything. Pray. Look, I full disclosure, I was at a bar last night listening to my wife play. My wife is in a band and she was playing at a bar locally in town. And guess what I did? I enjoyed it. And while I was enjoying it, there were moments where I said, God, am I supposed to say something? Am I supposed to? I was blown away at the opportunities. It's praying all along the way, wherever you are, whatever you're involved in, what you're doing. It's recognizing the people that God's bringing in your life and saying, God, what is it? What are we doing here? Man, you know he's setting something up. If you get to know him, you know he's setting something up. So if he's setting something up all the time, then what's next, God? Come on. Come on. And yet, what do? We usually live our lives focused. Well, this is the way that I got to go. This is the way that I'm going to make things work. This is how I've got to do things. And all along the way, we lose our way. When you're weak, his strength makes you perfect. When you're tempted, his power helps you overcome. When you're discouraged, you're hurting, you're broken, he's the lifter of your head. He brings joy in the morning. That's his way. That's what he does. But we're going to have to pray all along the way. We got to maintain that communication. We got to maintain that relationship. It's bringing him our waking thoughts as well as our waiting thoughts, as well as our waning thoughts. It's bringing him every thought. It's bringing him every part of our day. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Prayer isn't something, guys, that we just do. If prayers become an obligation for you, if prayers become I have to, that's okay. Start there. It'll change, I promise. Look, I'm nowhere near where I want to be. I'm still not offering to hold a prayer session after church and hold everybody's hand. I ain't doing it. Mine are already clammy just thinking about it. I'm like, oh God. And yet I'm not gonna stop praying. And yet there is power in prayer coming together with other people. So there's something to it. And although it doesn't, you know, give me the tinglies and the goosies or whatever, there's something true about it. And there's something that I can recognize. God, you're here. God, you're in this moment. You're gathered together with us. And if that's the case, then I want to join in with all of us in just thanking you. It's taking the time to recognize those moments. When he's comforting you, when he's convicting you, when he's strengthening you, when he's loving you, when he's prompting you, guiding you, things change. I've been just trying to study and fall more into this, and I'll be honest with you guys. It's although I've thought it or I've. It's still new to me. This whole series, for years, I'm good at putting God here. And I think a lot of us are going to miss out on the joy, all that God has for us by about that much, the distance from here to here. The truths are important. The truths will set us free. We need the truth of God in our lives. The truth is the foundation upon which you can build your life, but we also have to recognize the way that he lived. You can't take the truth and just shove it down somebody's throat. You have to recognize the way that Christ shared the truth. Suddenly you wake up and you're not just believing the truth he taught, but now you're living the way that Jesus lived. Look, I'm not there. It's a struggle. But the more that I just spend time with God, the more I just say, God, man, I need you. The more things start to just align and make sense. I'm gonna close in prayer this morning. And here's what let's if you will, guys, y'all stand up with me this morning. Prayer. It's communication with the God who's here. Have you taken the time even this morning just to say a hello? I mean, look, we all show up to church because we know we got it. We got to come to church. We got to do the right thing. But have you said hello to God this morning? I've written this out. I'm preaching it. And even this morning as I'm getting ready, I'm like diving into my message. Okay, I gotta get ready. I gotta think. I gotta do this. I gotta write this. And then at one point in time, I finally thought, oh, hey, good morning, God. Woke up out of bed and just ran about my day, forgetting to just say hi. Heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord Jesus. I thank you so much. I thank you for who you are, Lord God. Just my life, my everything, my friend. God, I pray that you would help each and every individual in this room, Lord, to be able to find their space. Their moment, Lord God, to make you a priority. But more than that, Lord God, not just to stop at a moment, Lord God, but more so to, I pray that across this room, you'd help us to recognize, Lord Jesus, our need for you daily, our need for you every second of every day. That you wouldn't just be a category, Lord God, that we give a part to, Father, but that we would understand that you would know, Lord Jesus, that you have our all. that we would reach out, Lord God, that we would experience, that we would love you, Father, worship you. As I continue to pray across the room, look, I don't know if you're the best prayer in the room or if you've never prayed a prayer in your life. But I think that all of us need to change what it is that we're doing and how it is that we're doing it, if even just to seek him more. So what I'm going to do, and this is different than what we normally do, but I'm going to shut up. I'm going to shut up because I want everybody here just to take a quick moment and say, good morning, God. Thank you for today. Wherever you are right now, man, just talk to him. You may be hurting this morning, and you may just need to say, God, I don't even know if you're real this morning. You may be elated. You may be living on cloud nine, and you just may need to say, God, thank you for what's going on today. Regardless of good or bad, Father, I still just acknowledge you. Father, I thank you that you hear the cries of your people, the cries of your kids, your children. Father, I pray that we would continue to acknowledge you daily in every moment and every matter and every instance and everything that comes across our paths, Lord God. That we would recognize you not just in a moment of prayer, but rather in a lifestyle of prayer, Lord God, a communication, a talking. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for your word, the truth that we can hold on to, the Lord God, the truth that we can write upon our heart, Father. But more so than that, Lord God, I pray that each and every one of us recognizes the truth in light of the way that you lived. The heart that you lived, Lord God, that was constantly, continually seeking the Father's guidance in every aspect of life. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in and through your people, Lord God. And I pray this morning, Lord, as we across this room just acknowledge you, communicate with you, Father, that you would draw close. And in drawing close, Lord God, that we would start to recognize and see the world in a completely different manner, Father, that we would start to recognize the moments that you create that pass us by daily, the opportunities to share your love and your word. Father, I thank you for all that you are, for all that you're doing. It's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, pray all along the way. God bless you.